Persons listening to this show should experience varying degrees of euphoria and might radiate a warm glow of truth from their entire being. This phenomenon sometimes lasts hours after a typical brain massage. If you are listening with another lights on listener and they begin to glow, don't be concerned. This is a phenomenon normally associated with Pastor Scheidbach's patented brain massage technique and merely means the truth has set them free.
The devil beware. Pastor Scheidbach is on the air.
Well, hello, I'm Dr. Scheidbach, pastor at the Lighthouse Baptist Church in Santa Maria, California, and your brain masseur. Get ready for your brain massage. The moon's last lap around the earth, concluding earth's current trip around the sun, began today. Happy December. We're all thinking about Christmas, right? The Dove and I completed our first vacation in I don't know how long it's been, and just had a wonderful time together, and we're glad to be back home. Okay, my friends, let's see what's going on. Voter fraud is deciding some elections, but they failed to pull it off in Mississippi. And the Florida voter fraud machine, it appears, is finally getting shut down for now. No news yet on getting voter fraud under control in California, however. Trump won't meet with Putin during the G20 meet in Buenos Aires. All right, when was that? It was yesterday. Reason? Russia has not returned the soldiers and the ships taken during their invasion of the Ukraine. The money Sarsour raised for a Pittsburgh synagogue shooting victims, wasn't that a nice gesture? Sarsour, a noted Muslim, raising money to minister to the victims of a white supremacist, Jew-hating, Nazi-loving radical. Well, the money went to an Islamic center with terrorist ties, so... from one Jew-hater to another, I guess. Oh, well. The hypocrisy on the left continues to plumb new depths of depravity. Wow, remember Hillary's private server where her Chinese friends were able to capture her email correspondence and... you know, that has been proved some of these were considered classified communications, and how we strained to hear a peep of protest from the left about this, but all we heard were crickets. Well, Ivanka apparently used her private email for correspondence during her transition into service and used it for non-classified communications, and the left is going bananas. No kidding. I mean, they're pressing for a full investigation into Ivanka for using her private email to conduct communications during her transition into government service. It's just amazing. And they're picking up, of course, Crooked Ivanka and all this kind of stuff. Spinning off Crooked Hillary. I'm glad the Trump family, it seems, so far have really thick skin. And thank God for that. And you pray for them. Because this is nonsense. And then there's the View. Ranting about Trump gassing children on the border, you know, and then the latest on Mueller's effort to trip Trump up. But before I get into that, I think I'll speak to this discussion about gassing the children at our border. And then in segment two, I want to go over some things Bongino brought out in his newest book, Spygate. It's really a vindication of almost everything we've already suspected about the Mueller investigation. And more, much more. So get ready for your brain massage.
Truth served here, flavored with delectable wit, succulent sagacity, luscious logic, a gourmet meal for the mind.
Speaking to the issue of Trump gassing children, as you know, tear gas was used to disperse crowds attempting to cross our border after those crowds were told to halt. And after they began to throw rocks at U.S. border agents. So, you know, instead of killing them, they used tear gas instead to disperse them. So when Sonny Hostin on The View is told that this was done repeatedly under the Obama administration, and it was, she flips out. Whoopi, you know, it appears, was at least honest about it. I mean, she cited a National Review article reporting Obama's administration tear gassed illegal immigrants crossing the border and did it repeatedly. And Joy Behar was incredulous and wondered, why was there no picture of this going on while Obama was in office? Well, that's a good question, Behar. It was going on. Why weren't there any pictures? McCain added, quote, Homeland Security data does validate that it happened multiple times. More than once a month during the Obama years, end quote. Abby Huntsman brought out that, in fact, over a period of 4 months, HHS, that's Health and Human Services, placed unaccompanied children into the hands of traffickers, who forced them to work on egg farms, and noted that this led to a federal and criminal indictment. She said, quote, "These are things we don't talk about," end quote. Well, that's refreshing. But at about this point in the confab, Huston had heard enough. She blurted, quote, "The last I checked, President Obama is no longer in office. Trump is in office." And then Behar jumped in, "And he's destroying the country." And Huston continued, "I don't care what Obama did. I care about what Trump is doing right here now." And that, my friend, is that. You know, I must say, I am encouraged at least a little that a few on The View seem to be able to get the point. Whoopi was willing to bring up the National Review article. And Abby did admit, "We don't talk about that." That is, we don't talk about what Obama did, right? So anyway, tender-eyed and soft-headed Hathaway lamented, "My country gassed children." That's unbelievable. And of course, she means the government of this country countenanced the use of tear gas, or used tear gas, to disperse men, women, and children who were attempting to cross our border illegally. Miss Hathaway, your government was gassing children repeatedly during the Obama administration. We didn't hear anything from you then. Miss Hathaway, your government turned children over to human traffickers during the Obama administration. Miss Hathaway, your government sold guns to drug cartel murderers who used them to kill a Border Patrol agent. Fast and furious? Ever hear of that one, Miss Hathaway? Your government, under Obama, was arranging for Russia to get its hands on our uranium in the full knowledge that Russia was using it to help the Iranians develop nuclear weapons. Talk about Russian collusion, Ms. Hathaway. Ms. Hathaway, why are you so moved by the fact that our government used tear gas? Tear gas, folks. Painful, unpleasant, an effective irritant, to be sure. I've experienced it. A deterrent, but not fatal. And used it to disperse a gang of migrants who were throwing rocks at Border Patrol officers. But none of these other far more egregious offenses seem to have bothered you about your country. Miss Hathaway, your government has sanctioned the murder of more than 50 million babies since 1973. Look, really, these foolish, thoughtless fathers and mothers who would expose their children to this kind of thing, they're the ones who are responsible for this. My country gassed children? Really? Trump sent repeated warnings that these migrants were not going to be allowed to push their way into our country illegally. Some of them are right now demanding that the U.S. speed up the asylum process. They're making that as a demand. Yeah, that's the quality of the people who are trying to bust in right now. That's what you get with these people who cross in illegally as opposed to those who come here legally. Oh, and by the way, one third of that crowd trying to force their way into our country are diseased. I mean, with diseases ranging from head lice to TB and HIV. Oh, and they have caught some MS-13 gang members trying to break in with the crowd. Oh, and as for SIAs, as special interest aliens, a.k.a. terrorists, connected thugs, being embedded in the horde coming to our borders. Listen, 15 terrorists have been caught trying to illegally cross our borders since 2001. It's a legitimate concern. As lately as 2017, one from ISIS. You know, a guy caught in Canada, a guy named Abdullah Sharif. And then there's an Ibrahim Kuuddin, or whatever, from Somalia, who was caught in Costa Rica. On his way to America, but caught in Costa Rica. And that's March 2017, believed to be part of the Al-Shabaab terrorist organization. We've had some Taliban sneak across, some from the Tamil Tigers, from Harkut Jihad al-Islami, from Bangladesh, and on, it goes on and on. And even though so many liberals these days refuse to allow us to think logically, reasonably, or to use common sense, the fact is these terrorist organizations are not stupid, and this horde gathering to cross our border is a perfect opportunity for them to sneak some operatives in. And we would be fools indeed if we did not concern ourselves with that very real possibility. Now, how many are embedded in the horde? We don't know. But Hathaway is concerned about use of what she called monstrous force. Monstrous force. That's tear gas. Monstrous force. How about what happened in Tiananmen Square? That's monstrous force. But anyway, Hathaway, Behar, Huston, all of you will be pleased to know that our California Attorney General wants to restrict use of any force at all on our border. Now, I wonder how much force he would be willing should be used to enforce that. I mean, these liberals are not averse to using force when it comes to, well, anybody protesting an abortion clinic, for example. Well, 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 the schools, some of them at least, are deciding they do need to do something to protect against these school shooters. One school is distributing hockey pucks to teachers that they can throw at a shooter. Another one is distributing small bats to teachers and other school personnel. Now, don't misunderstand. I applaud these efforts. I'm just trying to get my head around how this works. Isn't this something rather like bringing a knife to a gunfight? And can a hockey puck do some serious damage if a kid gets hold of it, right? That's what they're concerned about with regard to guns. What if a kid gets hold of it? And a bat, you know, can a defense bat do some serious damage on the cranium of an assaulter or a fellow student? I mean, if a kid gets hold of one of these defensive hockey pucks, can't he put some serious hurt on someone or if he gets hold of the bat? So the idea is to provide a way to discourage an attacker by means that have at least a high probability of being non-lethal, right? Yeah, you know, sort of like using tear gas to disperse a mob rather than slaughter them with 30, 40, or 50 caliber, or 223, 556 caliber bullets, right? Now, Joy Behar and Hostin will certainly accuse me of comparing school shooters with mothers trying to cross our borders with their children illegally. And so, totally missed the point. The point is, liberals are not willing to provide our teachers with the capacity to use lethal force if necessary to protect our children from school shooters, but they will provide them with means that have a high probability of being non-lethal. A compromise that they hope will mitigate the threat to our children, right? But if the government, responding to a violent mob, uses tear gas, plainly in order to avoid using lethal force, then Trump is a monster. But who is the monster? The monster that refuses to provide adequate protection from school shooters for our own kids, you know, or the monster that compassionately attempts to stop intruders from entering our country illegally, especially when we have a reasonable expectation they're not nice people, evidenced by the fact that they were throwing rocks at our Border Patrol officers. And we want to stop them by use of non-lethal force. And that's a problem because, you know, it's confusing how liberals these days think. Now, hold on, my friends. I'll be right back.
In what ways does the Trump presidency connect with end-time Bible prophecy? Will there be peace in the Middle East? Will ancient Babylon be rebuilt? Will Israel rebuild their temple in Jerusalem? Who is the Antichrist? When will the rapture occur? Dr. Scheidbach is a renowned expert on these and virtually all other questions regarding Bible prophecy, and his answers are 100% supported by the Scripture of Truth. To register for this course, call 805-714-7731 or go to santamarialighthouse.org. Get ready for your brain massage.
Hello, welcome back. I'm Dr. Jerry Scheidbach, pastor at the Lighthouse Baptist Church in Santa Maria, California, your brain masseur and Paul Revere's lantern light, lighting the lamps in the church belfry arch, singling the enemy is on the march, an enemy that would steal from us our liberties. Corsi has filed a complaint against the FBI for prosecutorial misconduct. As you know, Corsi's been tangled up in Mueller's witch hunt, which is destroying a lot of lives. You know, like all witch hunts, a lot of people get burned that aren't. And that takes us to Dan Bongino's new book, Spygate. Dan Bongino is a former FBI agent who has become an outspoken advocate for truth, justice, and the American way. He debunks liberal lies like a boss, according to his website. Now, Dove has been feeding me tweets from Bongino for some time now, and I have consistently found them to be insightful and spot on. Anyway, I listened to a speech he gave explaining what's really going on with the Mueller investigation, and among the many things I found informative and insightful and intriguing are these. First, he confirms with documentation virtually everything I have been saying about the Mueller investigation right from the start. I have always believed it was intended to distract from the crimes of Hillary and Obama. And Bongino has put together evidence that shows this is exactly what it's all about. Second, he comes from the perspective of someone who has worked within the FBI. And then third, he uses MSM sources to support his conclusions, which is rather like using the confessions of the perpetrator's accomplices. So what I want to do for you, my dear audience, is offer a synopsis of that case, and hopefully you will want to go buy his book and look at all of this more fully. It's called Spygate. Now, I'm not merely repeating Bongino's speech. Let me make that clear. I'm simply using the speech as a primary resource among some others, as you'll see. Let's begin with Nixon. Why will be clear as we proceed. Nixon fired the special prosecutor investigating Watergate when that prosecutor, Archibald Cox, demanded release of Nixon's White House tapes. Nixon could not find anyone to fire the guy, so all who were in a position to do so resigned rather than comply with his wishes. Finally, Robert Bork, then the Solicitor General, who had been appointed to act as head of the Justice Department, pending a formal appointment, he obliged Nixon and fired Archibald Cox. Now, Nixon was pressured to allow another special prosecutor to be appointed. And that prosecutor succeeded to secure a subpoena demanding the release of Nixon's White House tape recordings at the Supreme Court. And this followed by discovery of the missing 18 and one half minutes in those tapes, along with John Dean's testimony, all led to Nixon's resignation. And as you might already know, Hillary Clinton was at that time a young lawyer who helped with the Watergate investigation. But what really was Watergate all about? Well, Watergate was about President Nixon's alleged involvement in a break-in that occurred at the DNC headquarters, then maintained at the now famous Watergate complex in the Foggy Bottom neighborhood of D.C. The burglars were attempting to do some opposition research against Nixon's political opponents, and it involved use of campaign money to pay for this opposition research. They were trying to, are you ready for this, bug the office of the DNC chairman, and his name was O'Brien. Nixon finally went down, not because anyone was able to actually prove he ordered the break-in or even knew about it beforehand. He went down because he got tangled up in the effort to cover it up. Okay, fast forward to 2016. The DNC tried to illegally use the expansive NSA database to do opposition research on Trump and his campaign. They got caught, and so they decided to obtain a legal warrant to tap Trump Tower. It backfired. Trump got elected. And then they went into panic mode. They organized an effort to keep the truth about their misdeeds from ever coming out into the light of day by a massive diversion. All eyes were diverted to a bogus charge that Trump colluded with Russia. And with the media's complicity, so far this has been successful. So, with that, here we go. First, the Obama administration had already weaponized the government against American citizens. Remember the IRS scandal, where Obama bots targeted conservative groups to slow walk or deny their application for tax-exempt status based on political profiling. Then there was the Jim Rosen Fox News scandal, you know, where government was weaponized against the journalist Obama did not like. And then there was the AP phone records scandal, where Obama's Justice Department seized phone records of journalists for AP without prior notification and contrary to the constitutional rights of the journalists, and so on. So Obama had already weaponized the government against private citizens and had grown accustomed to getting away with it. Next, NSA has a massive database that probably has more information about you than your mother has. It collects more than 29 million gigabytes of information about Americans every day. It's supposed to be used only for national security concerns. The parameters for access to this database are supposed to be very strict. According to the NSA, quote, the government cannot conduct substantive queries of the bulk records for any purpose other than counterterrorism, end quote. But we know that has not been the practice. In fact, a little something you probably have not heard about, and this is directly from the NSA.gov site. Quote, on May 23, 2018, NSA began deleting all call detail records. That's a record of calls that are made by citizens. Acquired since 2015 under Title V of the Foreign Intelligence Surveillance Act. Why? It goes on. NSA is deleting the CDRs, the phone records, because several months ago, NSA analysts noted technical irregularities in some data received from telecommunications service providers. These irregularities also resulted in the production to NSA of some CDRs, phone records, that NSA was not authorized to receive. End quote. Now, I leave some thinking to my audience on how to put some things together, okay, to make some connections. But 2015 is when the Obama team was busy trying to use the NSA database to do some opposition research on the Trump campaign. And so some phone records there would show some of that, right? And this takes us to the next point. Next, using private contractors, the FBI conducted NSA database searches to collect intel on Obama's political opponents. But a good guy at NSA noticed this. He caught it, sniffed it out. He was a man named Mike Rogers, one of the white hats in the FBI, and there are many. He noticed that someone was tapping into the NSA database, making what he discerned were political queries. Or in other words, making queries that had nothing to do with national security, but that would be of political interest to certain, shall we say, interested parties. Parties such as the DNC and the Hillary campaign. After this was brought out, a FISA court produced a report on these queries called About Queries, about this one, about that one, and so on. And on page 80 of that report, which I have perused, it was revealed that private contractors working with the FBI were actually spying on U.S. citizens using this NSA database. Now, once it was discovered, private contractors were accessing the NSA database, working with the FBI, doing political opponent research, they adjusted their tactics. They, and by they I mean Obama's operatives, working inside the government to facilitate Hillary's election. That's what's going on here. It's obvious. You know, people like Obama's counsel, you know, Catherine Rumbler or something like that, and his operatives in the Department of Justice, and the FBI, Comey, Strzok, Rosenstein, and others. Mueller comes into play later. And by tactical adjustment, I mean they decided if they can't spy on Trump outside the law, they would use the law to do it. To work up a case to get a FISA warrant to legally tap Trump Tower and access the NSA database, or they needed to establish a plausible case that Trump or his associates were in collusion with Russia, a foreign power, and involved in activities subversive to the interests of America. With a FISA court-approved warrant, Hillary's team could gather intel on Trump, his associates, and on anyone two steps removed from each of those persons. That's quite a wide net to throw, something called the two-hop rule. Remember now, these people are arrogant. They totally assumed their party, Hillary, would win the election, so they were safe. They had total political cover for any of their actions, and they operated in an environment where using government to attack political opponents had already been established as a practice in the Obama administration. And add to this that their plan A had been disrupted, and they were scrambling to adjust. They're running out of time, the election's coming up. So all this is being done on the fly, you understand that? Well, that is why it got sloppy, and they made some critical mistakes. You see, they needed to present to a FISA court judge a plausible argument that Trump and or his team were working on behalf of a foreign power in violation of at least one U.S. law. Hillary's opposition research team was Fusion GPS. Now, Glenn Simpson is co-founder of GPS, and Glenn Simpson had written an article back in 2007, that's 10 years before, detailing how Russians manipulated American politicians and gained influence over them. The article was titled, How Lobbyists Help Ex-Soviets Woo Washington. If you read this article by Fusion GPS, co-founder Glenn Simpson and his wife, Mary Jacoby, who, by the way, during these developments was meeting with Obama. Anyway, this duo, Glenn and Mary, write for a Wall Street Journal, by the way. Read that article side by side with the now infamously named Trump dossier. It's obvious that whoever wrote the dossier was following the information in the article written by the co-founder of Fusion GPS, the organization Hillary hired to do opposition research on Trump. You're following this? It's virtually identical, all of it. The only difference is that Trump's name is written in. So how do we get this dossier into the hands of the FBI so they can use it to get these phony warrants against, you know, to tap Trump Tower and all that kind of thing? Enter Christopher Steele, a British agent who worked in Russia. So Steele comes up with a dossier supposedly from his sources in Russia, but we know where it really came from. And then he presents this to the FBI. The dossier is used to obtain a FISA court warrant to tap Trump Tower and to begin aggressively investigating Trump for Russian collusion and establishing surveillance on him and his team. Now, of course, they knew this wasn't true. I mean, their real purpose to get the warrants to tap Trump Tower and conduct surveillance on him and his campaign team was all in hopes to get other damning information that they could actually use, something really actionable, or to find some way to support the dossier, some connection between Trump and Russia that they could exploit to buttress their made-up story. But my friend, nothing was forthcoming. So what are you going to do? Well, now all of a sudden, a copy of the dossier lands on McCain's desk, and then it gets leaked to the press. phony baloney Comey and all that business. Oh, yeah. In their effort to make some connection between Russia and the Trump campaign, they destroyed some perfectly innocent people, something like five so far, and they sidelined some others. Flynn would be an example of somebody being personally destroyed by them, and then Sessions would be an example of someone who was sidelined by their threats. But someone at Fusion GPS used the NSA database to do research on Trump's team, looking for any connection between it and Russia, and found a Michael Cohen who had traveled to Prague. They assumed this was Trump's Michael Cohen, and they decided to use it as a way to establish a Trump campaign Russia connection. But it backfired when it was discovered they got the wrong Michael Cohen. Michael Cohen's passport shows he never went to Prague or anywhere near Russia. Update, however, they have threatened to ruin Cohen like they have four others, and they've succeeded at beating him into submission. I understand Cohen has copped a plea deal with Mueller and confessed he lied about some irrelevant issues that were politically motivated, but things that in fact were not illegal. Now, that's an important differentiation that the lamestream media is not going to bring out. Trump has explained all that. He's a businessman. He continued doing his business during his campaign until it became apparent he was going to win. That's when he began moving toward divesting himself from his business interests and his business connections. And that he was considering a building project in Russia should not be surprising to anyone. But anyway, back to the timeline here. They violated law by using the NSA database illegally to do opposition research on Trump and his campaign. Well, they got caught, changed their tactic. Hillary hired Fusion GPS to get this phony dossier put together from a research paper the co-founder of Fusion had written 10 years earlier. They put Trump's name in it and then used it to get a phony warrant to tap Trump Tower and spy on his team and surveil him. They were not getting any actionable intel, so they provided the dossier to McCain and leaked it to the press, hoping to damage Trump politically. Then this all comes crashing down when Trump actually wins the presidency. This is something they didn't expect. Now all of this was liable to get exposed, and heads would roll. The left goes totally out of their mind. Several key people start resigning. Something like this starts going on all over the place, even over in England. I can't get into that. And Mueller is called in to take care of cleanup. Mueller is assigned the task of keeping the heat on Trump and off of Obama and Hillary. And since Whitaker is on record as a Trump supporter, all of these howlers cry to their moon god in protest. Bongino also shows the relationship between all of this and a concern that a Trump presidency might expose all their criminal misdeeds in the election, but that other things also might come out, like the fact that an FBI paid informant admitted we, that is the U.S., were giving uranium to Russia while the Russians were facilitating building the Iran nuclear program. Can anyone spell treason? It does have an odd spelling these days in America. It goes something like this, O-B-A-M-A-H-I-L-L-A-R-Y. My friends, I have warned you to pray earnestly, and I mean in prayer and fasting, grab some sackcloth. Repent before God like Daniel did in Daniel 9, read it. You'll understand what I'm saying. And pray for our troubled nation as he prayed for his. Spiritual warfare right now is so intense, we must break through. I'll speak to this in my Issachar report Sunday night at 6 p.m. Friends, I have lit the lamps of the Church Belvery Arch. Now you let me know you see they're on. Call 805-314-2114. You'll reach our Lights On hotline for the Brain Massage Show. You can't just say lights on or lights off and then hang up. That's fine. Or, you know, let me know what you think about all of these things. Or go to our website, which is brainmassage.net. That's brainmassage.net. Find the contact button, send me an email. And don't forget, we depend entirely upon your support to continue in this work. So please send us a gift to help with broadcast costs and for maintaining our websites. Call 805-314-2114. God bless you. God bless America. And I'll see you in church.
In what ways does the Trump presidency connect with end-time Bible prophecy? Will there be peace in the Middle East? Will ancient Babylon be rebuilt? Will Israel rebuild their temple in Jerusalem? Who is the Antichrist? When will the rapture occur? Dr. Scheidbach is a renowned expert on these and virtually all other questions regarding Bible prophecy, and his answers are 100% supported by the Scripture of Truth. To register for this course, call 805-714-7731 or go to santamarialighthouse.org.